What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Labdominals. This week, I have another exciting guest, my friend Hunter Kinder. Hunter is a validation chemist, analytical chemist, and I used to work with him back at Dynalabs, and he's a cool guy. We really hit it off back at Dynalabs, and I'm excited for you guys to get to know him. So, without further ado, I'm going to start an ad, and then I will kick it off to the podcast. Enjoy.
Yeah, I think this is pretty cool, though. Like, I like, because one's on you, one's on me, and then one's on kind of both of us.
It's, right, exactly. Yeah.
And then all angles, you know. Like
alternate.
You can kind of see the body language, you know.
Okay. Well, and like, the worst part about this, too, about editing the podcast is if I stream, it's a different frame rate than what the audio is taking.
Compressed or like whatever. Like
it's weirdly off. Mm-hmm. So I have to like whenever I'm editing it, I'll chop it up into bits, into like 5 minute bits, and I'll have to like reorient them every 5 minutes.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work.
It's tedious.
Yeah,
but like,
I thought that was a lot of work if you did this with Nathan.
I had to do it several times with Nathan's. I had a learning curve
okay,
with
well,
Nathan's
we don't
podcast.
Have, we don't have to do that long if you don't want to.
No, like honestly, it is literally...
good practice.
It's good practice. Yeah, and I learned so much with that. I recorded this upward instead of... widescreen.
Yeah.
I
that wouldn't move.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. If you ever take a selfie, like always take it.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. From a distance.
Yeah.
If you want to throw these bad boys on.
Sure. It'll help.
It actually helps out a lot.
Sure.
And then you could hear you.
I can hear myself and kind of gauge my acoustic kind of.
You can.
Deliverance.
You can hear exactly how you're going to be recorded.
These look amazing.
They're actually really cool.
I need to get in front of these. Good for music.
Oh, yeah. I'd say so.
Microphone check 1, 2. Who is this?
Yo, this is Hunter. DJ Hunter. DJ.
Ow. Sorry, I'm just kind of a goofy dude. Max Goof, is that his name?
Goofy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like his son.
Yeah, it's Max Million.
He didn't want to be goofy.
Yeah.
That was me, like, growing up. I didn't want to be goofy.
No.
And then, you know, you come to this age.
You do.
And it's like a emotional, like, spiritual, like, development. And you accept the goof, dude.
You do. You got to accept the goof. Yeah. It's there.
For sure.
That goof is just waiting to come out if you don't.
Exactly. And it can get pent up and can be a spoof. And
how cool does it sound, though,
you can
if you,
be
like,
aloof.
Aloof, the goof?
I mean, yeah. What more there is to it.
I really can't find another one. Yeah.
No, I was
goof,
thinking.
Goof,
like...
spoof. Dude, don't spoof the poof, goof. So how cool does it sound, though, when you talk, like, directly into the mic?
Yeah, so I feel like I could do some serious, like analytical, like, ASMR psychology. Like, so what? How does that make you, like...
Welcome to another episode of NPR. With Hunter Kinder.
I love the I don't know if you watch Parks and Rec.
Mm. It's been a while. But...
Yeah, but I'm sure if you watch the whole thing, you know,
yeah.
This is the public radio or whatever. And this is jazz played over other jazz. And honestly, I'm kind of into that kind of music.
Yeah. Like... Synonymous jazz.
Yeah, for sure.
Constructive jazz.
I have this album, and I'm a total music nerd.
Totally, yeah.
One quartet is in one side of the headphones, like it's you know, stereo.
What?
The other, it's a double quartet, and the other quartet is in the other side. And it's like almost perfectly balanced. So it's literally like Leslie Knope's nightmare.
Is it that thing where like you hear one tone on one side, you hear another tone on the other, like binaural beats, and then in the middle you have your own jazz that you create?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah. You just have to experience it. Like, these headphones would be great for it.
And yeah.
I would highly recommend. I can send you. You're on Spotify.
Or, please.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It'll be a challenge. I'm not going to lie. It's literally called Free Jazz.
Pre-jazz?
Free.
Free jazz.
Ornette Coleman.
I would say this is more of like a three-body jazz problem.
Sure. Yeah. See that? I mean,
dude, what a
no,
segue.
No further questions.
No further questions. That's it. That's the podcast.
All right, thanks,
thank you,
guys,
for attending.
Yeah, it's been real. Cheers.
Cheers to that. Oh, dude, we got to try this.
Try what? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wait, let's do it again.
Okay.
Cheers.
Here's to health. Mm-hmm. Here's to honor. If you can't come in her, come on her.
There you go. Did you know that? I think it's kind of a European thing.
It's pretty good.
If you don't cheers and look each other in the eye, you know what you'll have?
HIV.
Close.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a result of this.
Very true.
7 years of bad sex.
No.
Yeah. And that's just American.
That would be the worst sex if you ended up with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
human immunodeficiency.
So I've been cheersing when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And look at me now. So like I've learned my lesson. I'm 7 years after, and
you got strong eye contact.
Right?
And I like that about you.
Yeah, thank you. Likewise, man.
Thank you. Likewise. Appreciate that. Well, if you can't look at somebody in their eyes, you can't connect to them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like on an emotional level.
Yeah, I kind of struggle with that sometimes, like just like anxiety, you know, and like
Right.
Yeah, just like
we have to
beep beep beep.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's a dance.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And it's easy to step on someone's toes.
Yeah.
Like, whether that's like, you know, you shuck and you jive with conversations mm-hmm. or workflow. And a lot of the times you can definitely step on each other's toes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Often.
Also, like new environments sometimes like challenge those like just like comfort levels and sometimes like you know, like I said, anxiety. Like this helps though. It's this. By the way, should we tell them what this is?
Sure, please. Yeah.
So this is Athletic Brewing.
I should grab the can.
Free. I think it's called Free Rye. It's basically a hazy IPA, kind of like a New England style, non-alcoholic.
Ooh.
So they brew it like a regular hazy IPA. You know, dry hop it. You know, whatever grain build. And then I assume this is what, you know, Well-Being and kind of the newer guys do. They extract the ethanol.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think they leave about 0.5% or less.
Okay.
Some people go all the way down to 0.1, but these guys,
right.
Supposedly like a little bit, just gives it like a little bit of flavor, but they're
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Are you a beer guy?
This is really good. It's very convincing as far as like a beer goes.
Yeah.
I'm actually not that much of a beer guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I love to try them just to see like what the notes are like
mm-hmm.
and what the experience would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. The hoppiness to beer completely turns me off from it.
Okay. Yeah.
But at the same time, with that same token, this is pretty good. I do like the subtle notes
of
it.
I appreciate you getting out of your comfort zone and maintaining eye contact. I know
Thank
that's
you.
Hard.
At the same time.
I'm not going to lie. Just like not seeing you for a while and then doing a float tank.
Right.
Like that was intense.
Dude, that's
and
cool.
Then, like,
right.
You know, I have headphones on. I'm on a podcast. I got all these cameras at me. This is a new environment for me. So it's like we're both in different environments. One's beer and one's.
Do all these cameras, are they like a little off putting?
Because
I can shift the view to where we don't see them.
No, I would say that the lighting on this one is a little. But the lighting on that looks great.
Yeah.
And it's also just like, you know.
And this frame rate is terrible. I'm pointing to my tablet. Look at that.
Yeah.
This is generations of Microsoft.
Arigato.
Yeah. Microsoft versus Apple. It's an unfair comparison. Years of advancement are between them.
I don't even know. It's just completely different engineering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even know what Microsoft really is, kind of. I know Mac and Linux or
Linux
OS or Linux Unix.
Oh yeah,
learning all these new terms.
What is Unix?
I shouldn't have said that. I have to explain it. Basically, it is kind of all derived from like one like the I don't even know if it's like so. Basically, what I know with like Linux is it all runs on like one kind of like what's called a kernel.
Okay.
And it's like an updated like generation. So like, you know, like you have Mac, which is whatever OS X like Lion, like
okay.
point like 10.1, like whatever, like, you know, point right. something generations. And you, the Ubuntu kernels, and or like that's what I use
okay.
for experiments and stuff.
Sure,
those are. Am I good? Like, can
yeah,
you hear me?
You're okay. cool. You're cool.
So those kernels like update, and like the and the operating system is different than the kernel. Like, I can't exactly explain like the Unix relationship to those kind of architectures, but the kernel is essentially kind of like what you derive your kind of terminal kind of language with.
Okay.
I think so.
Gotcha. So there's some sort of indexing that occurs deep within the code, and it runs off of the Linux.
You kind of start, like, I think a good way to start with, if you're going to Ubuntu, is like, you know, sudo, like, they don't have like sudo, so you like install like sudo from some particular part of the kernel, and then then you can kind of go from there, and sudo can control like a lot of the root. And I'm totally right. Like, I'm all learning this. So I really don't know. Like,
dude, that is totally cool, because I'm in the exact same boat.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched videos about it, and I've seen people type in things with sudo, and they've got their own coding language with it, and it's a system.
I think with Unix, like, it all can run from the, and Windows can to a degree, run from the terminal, like, so from the root, like root kind of configuration, like the root, almost like a user, but it's
dude, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. That's an entire world to be explored.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I feel like we've talked a lot. I can introduce myself, but I also want to keep talking about that. Like,
all right, let's hard pause right now.
Yes, hard pause.
Hard pause, Hunter. Introduce yourself, my man.
Well,
I guess
I,
you know, a brief synopsis, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I am a hunter of. I am Mark Hunter Kinder II. My dad is Mark Hunter Kinder I. Not, I guess the first isn't a thing, but wow. Hunter. I guess, you know, I'm kind of a etymologist. You know, like, I like to know where words come from, because they derive the meaning. So
the root,
It's a family name. My grandma was, her maiden name was Hunter. So
really,
I am not, however, a hunter. You know.
Okay.
Well, I hunt for some things. I hunt for mushrooms. I hunt for fitness.
Yeah.
And it's not like fitness, like pumping iron. It's right. Different, like,
hunt for fitness videos.
I would say it's like fitness payoffs.
Oh, yeah. Like running after a deer, for example.
Yeah.
Great fitness.
Okay.
And that's actually our superpower as humans, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
Where we can actually, since we have sweat glands, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can outrun animals that don't. Mm-hmm. So we can.
Yeah, that was kind of what got us to our advanced, like, hunting ability diets and stuff. Like, so it's.
Right.
It's incredible that, We weren't the fastest. We weren't even like the shiftiest. But we could run marathons.
And resilient.
I don't know if maybe, you know, if birds are real, like,
yeah,
you know, maybe we can't really outrun them. But
out for debate. Yeah.
Yeah. But we've developed the tools to be able to, you know, get things like chickens and, you know, so
right.
No longer. Yeah.
So Hunter's a family name.
Yeah. So yes, that is me. I am just a quirky guy. I, like a lot of things, kind of a nerd, kind of a goofy guy. Like, if you know, you check out the behind the scenes, it'll be, maybe a special access. You might have to,
subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah. Send us, whatever kind, you know, like,
yes,
Cash App or,
well, Bitcoin,
actually, basic attention. We need your basic attention.
That's
token.
True. Yeah. If you have basic attention token from using the Brave browser, please donate them to Hunter.
Actually, you know, you bought me Chipotle. You got me a. I just want some basic token.
Yeah.
Basic attention.
Just
sorry.
A little attention.
On Eric, you know, I just want some basic. This is some basic stuff. Like, it's
Hunter,
it's
you're
cool.
Too kind, man.
Oh, thanks, man. It's, like I said, it's like karma, you know?
Oh, 100%. It comes back around.
But, so I don't need to talk too much about myself, but
how'd you get into science?
Yeah, so I'm a guy who's always been interested in just kind of questioning just the root kind of causal forces behind nature. I remember like dissecting toads in fifth grade and like learning about stuff like work.
Right.
Like, and I probably need to revisit some of those core principles because like I probably should.
Yeah, but fundamentals.
Like, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But like those kind of things, like we're like, I don't really know even how to like think about this, but it's cool that like these like linguistic kind of terms that like mean something to me as like a fifth grader,
yeah,
can like equal like each other in like mathematical formulas. And yeah. I did not take to physics in high school, but like
no.
Just like astronomy. And I had a really good relationship with my sixth through eighth grade science teacher.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
So
Kent Miller. Seed. Kent Miller. Shout out Kent Miller.
Shout out. What's up, Kent?
Nell Holcomb, R4, Egypt Mills.
Man.
Great school.
We owe it all to you.
Thank you. But yeah, so just those early kind of binding factors, astronomy. Kent Miller actually made me stained glass of the lunar cycle in relation to Earth.
What?
Yeah, so like waxing, waning, gibbons, and
oh, that
crescents.
Is so cool. Yeah.
So cool. Nice. Like that was, and yeah, it's still it's at my parents' house because
he made you those.
Yeah, yeah. My parents bought it, but like
wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, yeah.
To
but
make
he's
those.
Such a crafty guy. But then also, I think you know, we asked him some of those kind of like fundamental questions that like some of the greatest like philosophers and scientists, you know, ever like. We're basically asking like, is even like God, like, is God mm-hmm. like kind of able to be reconciled with science and stuff like that? So,
right.
And he didn't, you know, he was very like agnostic, but
right. But ask the question.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like you don't want to teach or you don't want to tell kids how to think. You want to teach them how
right.
to like kind of how to problem solve.
Yeah. And, the mechanism of thinking things yeah. through logically and
yeah.
critically.
Yeah.
How do we take something that is a cultural conversation. How do we break that down into a way that we can logically extrapolate out the things that are true and mm-hmm. separate that from the bullshit?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the things that, you know, are being pushed as a narrative, mm-hmm. but we can see through that if we walk through with an evolutionary toolkit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something like,
I like that,
right?
I'll,
yeah.
Well, oh, I like those words, man.
Yeah.
That's
jam.
Yeah. But it's funny, like those early physical kind of just like lessons, they stuck with me, but I didn't pursue them like in high school. Like I didn't.
Okay.
I got more into like the lab. I love like, you know,
yes.
kind of on hand. Like I love the dissections in grade school and in high school
right.
too, like anatomy. But also the kind, some of the, more lab based, you know, chemistry, like making like blue flames with like,
right.
whatever, like the, yeah. whatever metal, you know,
a little bit of copper and
yeah,
put
I
it
think,
on a flame
yeah.
and it
yeah,
glows
exactly.
green.
Yeah.
yeah. And you're like, wow.
Yeah. So,
that's incredible.
And, again, just great teachers, you know, really,
yeah.
Fortify that inspiration and
dude.
For science and so
okay, you lucked out. You got
yeah,
good teachers
for sure. Yeah, shout out Central. Shout out Timothy Stroder.
Timothy.
I can't remember her first name. Miss Gatto. She might actually have a last name, a different last name now. She maybe got married, but yes. Yeah, so sorry, I'm giving all these shout
outs. No, I love it. I love
yeah,
it, man.
Dude,
give them
sure,
out.
Sure.
Pass them out.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna double check this logic to make sure that it is cool.
We good?
All right. We
are golden.
One more.
Yeah, do it.
Paneer. Mrs. Paneer was another. She was my anatomy teacher. So,
man, you got a lot of cool instructors.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
sure.
incredible. That's yeah. fantastic. And this is all like in high school too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is mostly, most of these teachers were high school. I had one. Dude. And I had some great history and even math teachers and great, like grade
right.
school was great too. But high school, like I really was like, exploring those different kind of
yeah.
options. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What about yourself, man? Like,
Man, my high school experience was totally different.
Really?
It was totally different. I definitely got into chemistry,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that I hated my chemistry course. It just wasn't exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And we did cool stuff. Like we would take the sodium pellet and we would put it in water and it would fizz. And
mm-hmm.
then we would take the...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. The potassium tablet and we put it in the water and it would like... catch on fire.
Yeah.
Like there was cool shit that happened, but like there wasn't the passion there that I was really looking for.
So I'll ask you this. Were there like, did you take like, was there like AP chemistry?
No. It was just the high school chemistry. Yeah, but yeah. I think I took it like I skipped the prerequisite. Okay. I remember that because I think it was junior year of high school and you had to take like chemistry for life first and then take chemistry. It was weird.
This sounds like a different high school. Which high school did you go to?
I went to Northwest.
Northwest, and that's in
Cedar Hill, Missouri.
Okay, yeah. Is that a St. Louis County or is that?
It's like Jefferson County.
Oh, okay. So that's like north of St. Charles, right?
Actually,
or is
no.
It just north of St. Louis.
It's like I'd say it's a little southwest.
Okay,
it's a little southwest. So like if you know Highway 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just go straight down Highway 30 for like 40 minutes.
So it's northwest and southwest in regards to southwest of St. Louis?
I would say in relation to St. Louis, it is southwest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Cool. And it, I don't know. It just like.
I think we played y'all in like sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. I did not pay attention at all.
You aren't a sports guy?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I kind of regret being a sports guy.
Right. Well, I.
Actually, I'd have taken that back. Cross country was really great for me.
Yeah, because it puts you in that zen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Running. Like, I love running, right?
At least like high school, like, I think. Because like,
yeah.
Basketball has always been a passion of mine, like, growing up. And I just didn't have a good experience with it. Towards the end of my high school, you know, okay. I think I was kind of like just an ego and like butting heads with.
I don't see that in you.
Thank you.
I don't see it at all. Like, yeah. If you have an ego, it's dissolved
by
this point.
I appreciate that. Yeah, like, maybe something's happened in between.
Maybe
I've just been dunked on a few too many times in college. Pickup games.
People are goofing on you.
I feel like I've only really been dunked on like two or three times, but. Whenever that happens, they're always like, hey, man, thanks for, like, they're, like, respectable, like, because it's usually, like, a really physical play, but.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're tall as shit, so, like, for those listening, Hunter is fucking tall, man.
6'6", yeah.
6'6", all right. But, you know, that makes you a really good basketball player.
It did. But growing up with it, like, the kind of coordination, like, I'm not really coordinated, but I was pretty coordinated with basketball, and that was what was cool. I think since then it's like I always enjoyed church league. Like that was okay. That was kind of the
yeah.
But the kind we're getting this is not no, lab dominals, but yeah, it's, I guess it's more of the abdominals than the lab dominals. But you know, you kind of need a good core before you get to the
that's you got it. Heady. Yeah, it's core sinking. Yeah, you know. Yeah, we're just planking here. You know.
So yeah, I mean, I think again, just like going back to high school, like. Chemistry, you know, it's like basketball was chemistry. Like I just didn't have that chemistry in high school, like towards my junior and senior year. Okay. I did in church league, like we won the ship and like dunking on people and like it was pretty cool.
So what is church league? What is that?
It is basically like a Cape Girardeau like interconnected community of churches that will host and like sponsor basketball, like practice, games.
Okay.
And just like a league of girls, boys, like teenager, all the way from like, you know, like kindergarten, maybe even preschool, like kindergarten to senior year of high school.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
because I feel like if church has utility in society, it's bringing the community together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
and that's exactly right. Really sounds like that's what it's doing.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of the same thing with like, you know, educational development. Like,
yeah,
those community like in like even something like chemistry, like
right
chemistry and like. Learning, you know, so
definitely brings people together.
I mean, I'm sorry that maybe that you didn't have the experience, but it sounds like you got some good experience somewhere later. It sounds like you kind of like it now. Yeah,
I definitely did. So, when I went to college, I didn't have like spectacular grades, from high school. I think it was like a 3.5 GPA. So, like,
it's pretty dang good.
Thank you. I think it was directly under like 3.49. I just did not breach that 3.5 you needed
in high school.
In high school.
Yeah, that was, I was maybe even below that, but yeah.
Yeah. And it was hard to source a good university.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl I was seeing at the time was like, just apply for St. Louis Community College, right? So I gave it a go. I want to say that, like, I paid the in-district tuition for Jefferson College, but it would have been like 10 more minutes out of the way.
Yeah.
So why not go to St. Louis Community College down the fucking road?
Yeah, it's not that much more expensive, I wouldn't think.
No, yeah. No, definitely not.
St. Louis Community College is great. Like, it's not even...
It's amazing.
Yeah, I was about to say, like...
Jefferson College kind of sucked, not going to lie. I don't know. Sorry if anyone out there has experienced Jefferson College.
But
I mean, I dated a girl later on that had just the most terrible experience at Jefferson College. And it was almost like every person that I interacted with was like, yeah, it's a college. Like, no one was like super passionate about it.
Okay.
But dude, I went to St. Louis Community College and it was great. It had a lot of international students.
That's
so
awesome.
Like, you have this variety of this diversity of background, right? Like, you have a lot of different students from a lot of different places. From a guy from like not that big of a town, that's huge. That's so much experience that you have had now that you would have never experienced.
Yeah.
So,
and it's almost more than just like kind of technical experience. It's almost like empirical, like experiential. Like, you're like,
you're
hearing like people from maybe like India or something that are saying, here's my like chemistry knowledge that is completely different. It's like way like
exactly
advanced in this way far off, like oh man.
And so, a lot of the times like that specific group, like, they'll take a textbook and they'll just memorize the textbook, you know. So like, their understanding of chemistry is so different from ours, which is like, understand the concept.
Oh man,
you know. And so, we were talking about that earlier, where it's like, if you break things down to the mechanism of action, it becomes way easier to understand. And if I had to dictate what the textbook said, like, there would be no chance. My mind does not work like that.
That's a good admission, I think, because
and
maybe some place like Jefferson Community College can, or Jeffco, like, I think I know some friends there. Maybe they can kind of take some of these to
take
heart,
these lessons.
And, you know, like, constructive criticism.
Do you know a professor there? Is that
I think some of my friends went there though. Like, they have sports there.
I think they do.
Yeah. So like, I mean, no, I didn't take offense to it. Like, I mean, they kind of wronged you, like, you know, so.
Well, that was like the step that, you know, when borders are drawn and live right next to the border and you could just cross the border and go to that school district that's like 10 minutes away, but they force you to go 30 minutes in the other direction. That's what I experienced.
I
had to go 30 minutes in the other direction to get a poorer form of education.
That's the whole thing with, I mean, I'm glad that college is, you know, pretty democratic, like, for the most part. And like, I mean, there's definitely like some kind of cultural, like inheritance and like, you know, all the politics that's wrong with academia. But I do think that maybe that is kind of a solution, that empowering like people to choose where they want to go to school. Even
that's
like
huge.
The whole like age range, you know, not just, you know, so. But we don't, that's kind of political, so we don't.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, once you get into it, like, even like science itself can get political. Like, it's like objective, like, what is objective, like,
so. you have to do active work to separate yourself from your work.
Absolutely.
And like, that is a practice, right? It kind of goes into the whole ego death thing, right?
yeah
where you have to, in science, remove yourself, abstract yourself from what you're doing, to look at it and say, what is the data showing me that I'm not seeing,
right?
You know, what would be true if this were not the case, and how do I test that with these hypotheses? And you might know more about that, being a validation scientist.
Well,
or having that
I'm
experience.
Kind of working on that, and I guess that was, you know, maybe something to finally like wrap up this. What, like, who is Hunter? Like, so that something that I do and I'm trying to do is basically validate methods. And my current project / company is Anovis International. We do animal feed supplements.
Okay.
So like enzymes, amino acids, digestive enzymes, and eubiotics, which are kind of like almost like, you can kind of think of them as like essential oil kind of compounds, different kind of like flavorings, or basically something that can create a pathway in, say, like the gut or muscle or whatever, even the microbiome itself, to produce some kind of a economical option. Okay. So
yeah, I see that as like eubiotics is related to probiotics. I want to say
it can be. It can be. Right. It's not necessarily pro, but like I don't know the. I feel like, you know, the there's like a linguistic like Greek like
right
whatever you is, you know,
like good biotics.
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, something like
that. Eugenics. So I'll is good genes.
I guess I can give an example of one of our eubiotics is, and I don't know how much I can kind of like
you can but, go into detail.
Basically, man. what there's a product that we have that is eubiotic that can be supplemented into animal feed, and I don't know exactly how it works, but it basically modulates one of the cow's stomach's microbiomes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, and you know, if you're familiar with any like kind of microbiome of the cow, it's are lots of methanogens in one of the particular stomachs.
Okay.
And so people like, you know, a lot of politicians will say like, oh, we gotta you know, stop the, like, I won't say which side, but we gotta stop the cow farts from causing global kind of, you know, ironic, which it's hilarious, you know, but
it is
honestly
funny.
It's I think in regards to the stomach, like it's actually the methanogen of the stomach. So it's actually the cow burps
that
are the greenhouse causing like methane gases.
Yeah. Seriously. So, that's a huge contributor to climate.
Exactly. So basically this eubiotic can somehow not produce as much methane gas and still have other kind of mechanisms to be able to digest and be able to produce muscle and fat and, you know, healthy animals.
You said that it was like mainly oil based.
See, I don't actually know all of our products. I'm very new here. I've only worked here 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, 2 months. Sorry.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It feels good. It's a nice job.
That's a spectacular position.
Yeah, I'm really learning a lot. It's very like multifaceted.
Yeah.
But no, I guess the eubiotics is the one kind of, it's kind of like two products in one. It is essential oil based. I want to say it might be more. I think they do maybe get into probiotics. I think eubiotics is kind of a catch-all for gut modulation, kind of gut engineer, gut environment engineering kind of stuff.
So. See, if I were to guess at it, I would think that eubiotics is some sort of mechanism to create a optimal environment for the good bacteria to thrive.
Yeah.
Is that sort of...
I think so, because the way I see it is like, you know, you think of like utopia, like that
right.
You know, like, I don't know, that's just
the
my,
good version instead of the opposite of that. I can't dystopia.
Yeah, but I don't know what utopia is the other side of it. I think we're not saying there is a utopia of the third cow stomach in the, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe we can, you know, at least have that goal in mind, you know.
Gotcha, three stomach problem.
Yeah. There you go. It goes back to the three stomach problem. No, seriously, like I hold a lot of anxiety, stress in my gut.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why we're drinking these NA beers is because alcohol, and it's not even that I had super big problem, but it made me very acidic, and you know, I would kind of do some other things, you know, like you're familiar with Delta 8.
Okay. Yeah. THC.
Yeah. So I was kind of doing that, and that was really fun, and just getting super isolated with you know what.
Yeah. Well, so when you said that you took it and you almost heard like static.
Yeah.
I'm curious like where that comes from, or if that's like a common thing that is an occurrence. If
I haven't reflected on that too much. I probably need to.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be cool. By the way, we're talking about the sensory deprivation chamber or the float tanks.
Yes.
Highly recommend. Yeah.
Float tanks are so cool. Like I like them. I never feel like I'm in the perfect headspace to go in.
No, but you always kind of come out like in a much better headspace. Like
weird enough, yeah. And it's like while I'm in there, nothing super impactful happens. Like it's not like world shattering.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just a gym for the subconscious.
Yeah.
To come out and play.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like the whole like silence is solace, like, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Thanks, man.
Silence is solace. That's poetic.
Like, you know, we're on a podcast now. I think it's kind of like the the not even like that it's a bad thing, but like podcasts are almost like a symptom of that, like,
okay,
constant like stimulation. Like, we always need, there's always something that's cool. Like, there's a market for like guys like us. Like,
yeah,
like I listen to you and Nathan, and like, I'm not only because you guys are my friends, but like,
right,
I would probably listen to that like if I could like find it.
Oh, really?
Just because like, you guys talked about some cool stuff. I'm trying to think of like what you guys about, like,
dude. And that's the thing about podcasts too, like, you never know what you're gonna get into, and like, if you're ever open to coming back on, I'll have you on.
Yeah,
you
know, for
like,
sure, for
I
sure.
Definitely want you to come back. So yeah, it's like, no matter what we talk about, like, it's there's an infinite plane of discussions that we could touch on.
Yeah,
and like, we don't have to select one and like harp on it or like get to everything. Like,
yeah,
we'll be visiting.
Yeah, so I think we could, you know, we could like brainstorm ideas, but
100%.
Also like, I think that kind of like the whole Silence of Solace thing is like,
yeah,
you know, doing kind of like those kind of tank, like having those kind of experiences, and then doing this to like kind of, I don't know if it's like analyze it, but like, you know,
yeah, it's like a
analyze that experience, like kind of what you're saying with like the
right,
take yourself out of it so you have the data to like filter. And
that's true. Yeah, it's just basic facts.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not you. You haven't tainted anything in there. It's data without an observer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
But
so, yeah, I mean, I can still stay here and probably talk another 20 minutes or so if you want to switch to more science. Kind of, I know we're kind of talking about just like,
oh, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
Man.
So
that's what it's about. That's what it's about. No agenda here.
Yeah.
You know,
I appreciate that.
The one thing I'm like, I seek out of these is just good conversation with good people. So, you know, wherever that takes me is where it's going to take me.
I really appreciate the invite. And
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, not going to lie.
Yeah.
That kind of stresses, I'm just kidding. Just stresses me out. I've had some panic attacks on the good old bang as a
bang energy.
Are you sponsored by?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just a cool hat, and I tried wearing it the first time, but
yeah,
like, I feel like it just closed off my perception out of everything. And
oh, yeah. I think you said that. I didn't see the video or anything, but I heard you say that tonight.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It just felt like I wasn't connected to the conversation in a way where I
could
have
been. Well, I
appreciate
it. Yeah, because there's the eye contact, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah. We need the eye contact. It can't be brimming.
It is a very pretty, like, you know.
This was thrown at me. we were actually, so it wasn't Orlando. I lied to everybody. We were in Ohio.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Festival there or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's an event called the Arnold.
Okay.
And it's a big bodybuilding event.
Oh, nice.
And there's, you know, there's corporate sponsors there. So Bang was one of the people, and they had like the most interactive booth.
Yeah.
It was huge. They had people dancing the entire time, and they were throwing these hats out at people, right?
Yeah.
And like it, I think it almost hit my girlfriend at the time or something like that. Yeah, yeah. They were
bang,
so dangerous. But yeah.
Bang right
now. Bang. Yeah. And
that's their point.
Like literally, you know, so it was anxiety inducing.
I would take it. Like I'm.
But I was like, I was at a distance. I was like, fuck, I want one of those Bang hats so bad.
Yeah.
And like, it's almost like I projected it out there, and this dude came out with a Bang hat on and had it in his hand and looked at me in my eyes and like just perceived
to be
exactly what I wanted. And he was like, here,
nice.
And he just handed me this.
Is this his autograph or what is who's this?
Autograph? That I think is the CEO of Bang.
Oh, no, he's into it.
Yeah. He stitched his signature on a hat.
Is he like a bodybuilder too?
I think he might be.
He's like, did he invent the, what is it? The mTOR CoQ10, like,
whoa,
like they have like some kind of like,
no,
I can't remember what it exactly. We need to get one of your Bangs and look
right,
at the,
right.
They have some also like your other
okay
nootropic thing. They have a kind of some kind of patented like
really.
It's not called splice, but what's the opposite of splice? Like,
what, like insert?
Like kind of like a peptide bond, like.
Okay.
Whatever those are.
Peptide bond, fusing, chain linking.
Kind of like that. Basically, just like some kind of like, I don't know if it's CoQ10 or basically there's, you know, have you familiar with the mTOR?
A little bit.
Yeah,
I know,
so
like,
it is very much for like
okay
bodybuilding. Like, I think if you can, like, honestly, if there's, I think they're working on it for like cancer or something. I you know, really? This is all just stuff that I'm.
No, that makes sense because the mTOR pathway is huge as far as cancer goes.
Yeah, and like molecular mechanisms and like
exactly.
You know, a lot of bio kind of regulation with like cell signaling and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, no, that's exactly it. mTOR is huge because you want to generate as much cellular synthesis as possible if you're a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So if you're a bodybuilder, you want to drive up that mTOR as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I think with cancer, it's exactly inverse because your mTOR pathway is out of control and it's making cells look crazy.
Yeah, probably the mTOR is fueling the cancer or something. So
right, yeah.
Okay.
And that's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think the methionine is the amino acid that starts every single amino acid.
Really?
Right, yeah.
I thought it was glycine. Glycine's like the most simplest one.
It is the most simplest one, but everything starts off with ATG. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. ATG.
Is that okay? So that's
which encodes
that's
for
like
methionine.
That's the start codon.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that specific sequence is the start codon.
Which codes for methionine. That's insane because
methionine.
That is the product that we
really.
Well, not methionine itself, but it is a hydroxy analog of methionine, which is supposed to be more bioavailable at Novus. So
interesting.
If you need any hydroxy methionine for your animal and animal supplement needs.
Dude, I need some human growth hormone.
Ooh, yeah, we are not food grade. Well, okay, actually, that you know, you can maybe get on your basic attention.
Yeah, my basic attention token.
And ask for some HGH.
So if you guys want to donate some human bat tokens. Bat tokens.
Bats.
I'll be a Batman.
Yeah, I'm a big bat guy.
Yeah, yeah, huge bat guy. And with your donation, we'll become even bigger.
Oh, yeah, man.
No, they're cool. They're cool. For those of you that don't know, I use the Brave browser. And the Brave browser actually allows you, this is not a commercial.
Oh, that's great.
But it allows you to accumulate these little tokens, which are actually a cryptocurrency. It's basic attention tokens. And just for browsing the internet and getting like an ad or two, you will slowly accumulate a couple dollars worth of bat tokens every month.
Yeah.
And then you can donate them if you want. You can hoard them like I do.
But it's also, I kind of feel like it was somewhat like trying to decentralize the kind of ad psychological the psychometric like data kind of whole complex
a lot of ad companies will like take your data, they'll mine your data, and they will send you tailored ads, which I'm kind of a fan of. I'm not gonna lie, I don't like the intrusion of privacy.
I agree. So if it's a good ad, but I don't like it, like it enhancing my like epigenetics and like expressing this, like I am not a 23andMe, like
right.
As much as I love like that kind of knowledge of self and like heritage.
Yeah.
Those guys are selling your
selling your data.
Like I
got
your
genetic data.
I think genetic data is so powerful. And like it's just a philosophical thing for me. Like I totally support those who are into it. I just have struggles, you know, with different maybe potentially genetic, like they don't really know like a lot of like kind of that kind of stuff. Like
that's true.
Mental stuff. So
what are you putting out there that some insurance company in the future is going to see and say, well, you've had this pre-existing condition. You are no longer covered.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that's just because of our healthcare system.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now, if we had a different healthcare system, though, that didn't involve those insurance companies and your data wouldn't be personally linked to you, like say it would represent like a code, right? That represents you, but no one could say that confirmably that is you.
Yeah. So yeah, it sounds like we need a quantum encryption.
Yeah. Would you be okay with like a blockchain technology sort of a thing?
Yeah, I totally think blockchain data or blockchain like data management should be integrated into healthcare. Like,
so if your information was out there and you could be just a node in a network that was unnamed, you would be okay with your information being out there?
I'd have to kind of read more into it, I think.
Okay.
The way I see blockchain is not completely sure, but I think like we're not really going to have quantum computing anytime like in the next maybe even 50 years, because like decoherence and stuff.
Right.
So, like,
decoherence is huge,
and that's the one thing that can really maybe like break Bitcoin.
Yes, and that is the concern.
Yeah, right? So it's like, just make more robust blockchains, and that's what they're doing. There's so many blockchains out there.
Exactly, exactly. Because the moment that quantum computing comes online, who's going to have access to that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the wealthiest among us, and that involves the people that are the heads of the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
The banks that they're trying to break into are the people that have that technology that can break into their own banks. But the common person doesn't have that.
Mm-mm.
So I think that there will be a bit of time, a window, where they can actually build the resiliency of their cryptography
okay.
in a quantum computing way.
Yeah, that's kind of what that was. I was exactly going to say that. I wasn't going to say it in that exact... I was going to say it's parallel, but yeah. I like that from within. That's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
Who knows how it's going to go, but I think that's either one of those, like either parallel or within the own...
Right.
Kind of a heterarchy, as I like to say.
Heterarchy.
Yeah, so it's not a hierarchy, not a, whatever the opposite of that is, like top down, bottom up. It's
okay.
kind of like side to side and like parallel processing, like always
lateral
building. Like there's never chicken or egg kind of thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Not my upstairs neighbor if I had one, not my downstairs neighbor, but my next door neighbor.
And I could be completely wrong on that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically like kind of integrating in from like a wishy-washy kind of like back ebb and flow kind of, you know, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like kind of working your way in there. Like, and I think that's the thing with like healthcare data and like cryptography. If you can like send some, you know, like HIPAA kind of encrypted or whatever.
Right.
Like HIPAA is like a blockchain quantum algorithm.
Yeah.
You send it and nobody even knows what this data can kind of represent, like to this particular node, like you were saying.
Right.
But they can parse together and send a signal back to some other, and it's deciphered and it's basically, okay, this, you know, this is, you know, whomever. But
right.
It's always important to have like personal kind of things. So you always have to have accountability with actual people. And have kind of a merit system.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where it's like you can link a pass together and say, what is the chain of custody on this packet of information? But those who intercept that packet of information can't break it apart and say, what does this say?
Yeah.
This is IRS detail.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I like HIPAA a lot in the healthcare system, just because if you fuck up HIPAA, like you are probably gonna get fired.
Yeah, seriously. Like there's a whole slew of litigious consequences that follow somebody breaking HIPAA, somebody breaking, violating your rights as a patient.
Yeah. So I even like that Western kind of medical philosophy, and like just the narrative has switched from, you know, kind of curative kind of treatments to a lot of preventative and wellness, you know, those kind of things. Obviously, you always need to like have some kind of cure for things like, you know, malaria, like a vaccine, you know.
Definitely. But, catastrophic care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, like, I myself, like, I had those concerns with, you know, my own kind of weaknesses and vulnerabilities. But the HIPAA in like relation to wellness, that's starting to become a thing. And I actually took this genetic test, which you might be interested in.
Maybe.
$200 bucks, Life ID.
Life ID.
Yeah, just like a swab. You send it in, and I wish I could get more data so I could like do like what you're telling, like encrypt it and stuff.
Right, yeah.
They don't let you do that, but it's a great like for muscle mass, or like muscle mass genetics and like recoverability, diet, like breakdown, like what vitamins you're kind of deficient in, like what you can produce and what you don't.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and they have supplements that you can be kind of advised on.
Yeah, and I think that's incredibly important because that's what we want out of things like blood panels, right?
Yeah.
We want to see, what am I deficient in? How can I improve myself as a human being?
Yep.
And like, I take an absurd amount of zinc,
right?
Like I try to, it disrupts viral replicase, so I take it all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
In massive doses. But
aren't there some good viruses though?
There could be. Yeah, there could be.
I just could be completely wrong on that. But
no, I could be fucking myself over right now.
Yeah, well, I think it's just like, you know, take it in moderate. Don't like take maybe 1,000% of.
I definitely overdo it. I probably do like 400% of the daily value every day.
Okay, all right.
But
it upsets my stomach. Like, I think.
Does
like,
it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, zinc does.
I think, but it's mostly like taking it by itself.
Gotcha.
So what is, do you know the mechanism behind viral replicase, like inhibition, or what is it?
Ooh, that's a good question. Because I think it has to be inside of your cell. So you need like an ionophore to transport the zinc into the cell. So quercetin will do that. And then I have bromelain as well, which makes the quercetin more bioavailable.
Okay.
So hopefully, now I could be totally off my rocker with this, but the bromelain should allow the quercetin to work in this way to transport the zinc into your cells. But I think the zinc itself fits into the viral replicase, the enzyme.
Okay.
And it inhibits its ability to.
Is it like a single like elemental atom of like zinc, or is it? Do you know?
I think
like,
so. Okay, yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, I've just heard of people using zinc for like almost like genetic engineering, you know, and stuff like.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I think interesting, or maybe I can't remember if it's genetic engineering or like protein engineering. It's okay. Like it's something to do with like zinc fingers, you know. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that. Yeah.
I can't exactly remember. It was like one of the kind of more primitive, primitive in like the 70s or 80s, like when that was still like cutting edge, but like
cutting edge,
you know, you got CRISPR and like site directed mutagenesis. So like,
yeah,
it's just, but I like a lot of this stuff. It's like I've heard in passing. I got really interested in back in the day, and it's just like I can't really remember a lot of it. I have to like, you know, just be in front of Wikipedia, like looking at like pathways and. Yeah, things like that.
No, that's 100%. And even when you get in the industry like yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like you're still learning so much.
Oh my gosh, I'm 20. I've been out of college for, let's see, 2014. So that's 7+ years.
Wow. Just about. Okay. Yeah. That's before I started, before I decided on science as a career.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did. You're a great chemist. It was great. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you.
Yeah.
I don't know if these guys knew this, but we worked at Dynalabs together.
We worked at Dynalabs together.
Yeah, yes, what a surprise.
Yes. So just like Nathan, we met each other at Dynalabs, and yeah, very thankful that Dynalabs hired you because,
sure.
you were awesome. You were an asset to the team, huge asset to the team. And,
thanks, man.
One of the coolest parts about the job was just the conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody's conversation with each other while we're prepping things for the HPLC analysis. Oh, it's just there's this rift between it.
Something about like young like scientists that, especially like people who like to like kind of. I don't know if it's just like guys like can like, you know, if we have mirror neurons, like, you know, we can just
right.
But I think there's some girls too that can totally. Do it, and I've met some of them, and it's been amazing. But I think it's just those young scientists that or aspiring even scientists that are able to kind of push the like that heterarchy, like, you know, that those people below beside you, you know, kind of up to those upper echelons
yeah.
like epistemology and like data, like
natural
form. So
no, it's cool because I was listening to a podcast with Andrew Huberman, and he was detailing the necessity of play. Right. Are you familiar with that research?
I think that sounds familiar. That sounds super familiar. I don't know you said Huberman. I don't know exactly that.
Andrew Huberman.
I've heard of play. Like, is it psychology at all? Or?
There is a lot of psychological elements to it, but there's a brain mapping that occurs, right?
Okay.
And he was detailing that the amount of play that you engage in as a child is largely correlated to the amount of, say, like ADHD that you have as an adult, right?
Okay.
And, there's this neuroplasticity that's in your mind that's activated by play.
Huh.
And just like, it could be out of some people's comfort zone, but even like adult play, just people that are just being goofy with one another, right? Like, that's a form of play. And I feel like Dynalabs was huge with that, right? Like, we would just like shuck and jive all the time. And like, I think that was what was so cool about it is that we have people to play with in this way. That's just young scientists, like you said, being goofy.
Yep. Right. So it goes back to like kind of what we're talking about behind the scenes about how like different things like comedy can kind of disrupt like different neural pathways and like reorient like the signaling, you know?
Yes. Yeah, that's
so,
exactly it.
Like, you know, sometimes something would be like kind of like just, you know, like let's one of the Dynalasses, I won't say, would be lamenting, and then you or Nathan would be just the funny guys you are and kind of reorient some of those lamentations, and And man, it was just amazing because like you would just make those people's and everybody's day better with like just like that. But then it'd go from that to like something like highly theoretical with like between us and like, and then Nathan would be like, oh, Nathan was always kind of like a skeptical guy.
Right.
You have a good deal of skepticism too. I think sure. I do too. It's like, you kind of have to have that healthy.
You do. Yeah.
But I think if you're kind of calcified and like your skepticism, like itself, it
cemented into a identity. It's tragic.
And even like the great science communicators are like sometimes like healthy skepticism.
Oh yeah.
Every now and then, just suspend that disbelief, you know, you just like imagine for a second, because it is, you know, like that gets into like philosophy of science, and like there's kind of like speculative kind of like vast speculation that can that can definitely like just wow people, you know. Science fiction is it's influenced science and stuff, so
that's exactly it. Yeah.
But all that has to be checked with like logic and like reason and healthy skepticism. Sometimes even like, you know, pretty virulent kind of skepticism. Like, but you know, it's like, honestly, everybody kind of brings like their own little like spin and flair to the whole, you know, ecosystem of knowledge. And it's just cool that there's just that interplay, like you were saying, that
that
diverted in all these different directions, and comedy and play, like you said, it's definitely one.
That's
of
what
them.
It is. Yeah. Goofing on each other. Yeah. You got to be dunked on. Like, oh, what would you call it? Not lyrically, but like when people can dunk on you verbally.
Cognitively.
Yeah, cognitively. Yes. That's a good way to put it. When somebody can, when you can play like a chess with somebody in this way with just your words.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've probably dunked on myself more than.
it's fun to goof on yourself. Yeah. Like, you have to.
Yeah.
Because it keeps yourself in check.
But it's like, you know, the like I like to call it like the Socratic like method, the dialectic can like facilitate that kind of you dunking on yourself, or like me dunking on you temporarily, but like me helping you get back up.
Right.
Yeah, it's just.
Now, to describe the dialectic, is it like I have a conversation with you, right? And I have an idea, you have an idea, but in the conversation comes out a third perspective.
Yeah, so it is. Okay. It is like at least like in the Socratic and kind of like even like the history of philosophy, it'll like kind of build in like more and more. And and I think that was, and like I said, I'm not a Marxist, but I think that was his kind of thesis, is that there is that back and forth, and like it's building and building. And so like it started kind of with, I would say, maybe idealism, recognizing like the Plato's kind of Socratic dialogues.
Okay.
But you know, Marx kind of took the tail end of idealism, at least in the Enlightenment era, and flipped it to the like material and like economical, and it was a really cool theory. I haven't read any Marx, but listen to a lot of podcasts and just like try. I think I'll eventually get there. I'm also just like a kind of a political science and like linguistic anthropology, like, you know, master of none by any by all means.
But I'd say that you're more of a philosopher.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I feel like that's the approach that you take with most anything, and I think that it realizes itself in your career as a natural philosopher. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's natural philosophy. Yeah. So, you know, what is this world that we live in? What are the fundamental building blocks that create this table in front of me? Mm-hmm. And why do I see white? You know, like just these questions that could be answered by the building blocks of reality.
Yeah. It's like, is your white the same as mine? Like, that's the whole, I forget what it's called. Like the
philosophy. That's the philosophy.
It's
of
like,
it.
It's been around since like Locke. It's just incredible. Yeah.
Well, that's a cool thing too, where it's like, do we have, like, am I running the script in the default mode, and you're running night mode?
Yeah, I'm always running night mode because I have sensitive eyes. Like, you know.
Yeah. How do I know that you, like, we can both confirmably say that we perceive one thing as the same thing?
Yeah, I forget what it's called. It's like, it's, and this gets more into the, and it, we're getting kind of crunched on time.
Yeah, so
we'll definitely wrap it up.
Yeah.
Basically, like, next time, let's get further into that kind of perception of reality, because a lot of the physicists, a lot of the kind of philosophers, and even some of the cognitive scientists are saying that, like, space-time itself is not fundamental. I know that's a extraordinary claim, and as Carl Sagan said, that requires extraordinary evidence.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think there is extraordinary evidence. I don't exactly know how to completely divest it because I'm not exactly a science communicator.
Right.
But I think that there are experiments like, say, split brain experiments.
Okay.
Where you have somebody who is maybe, you know, kind of agnostic or something, and then they'll have something go wrong with their corpus callosum, like, you know, or actually just like a traumatic brain injury where like they need to perform like a, I don't know the procedure, but basically split the hemispheres into two.
Sure.
And they'll have like kind of some muscle kind of spasms where like one hand is like trying to drink beer or something like an alcoholic. The other hand's like trying to put it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, one side will like, oh, I'm going to go to church today. Mm-hmm. And I don't, I can cite some examples maybe,
but that's exactly it.
Yeah. It's like one side is atheist, one side is Christian. You know? So it's like, you know, one side is Buddhist and the other side is Hindu. You know?
Actual two personalities,
yes.
Two main personalities that are coming out. And, you know, Carl Jung would say that we're like a collection of personalities, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And there's just this culmination and it's like you have this team in your head, like the movie Inside Out. The cartoon, right? Where everyone's just trying to come to a consensus.
Yes.
And that's our mind.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that even gets into like a network theory, you know, like,
right.
And so that's the thing with like, you know, what is that? what is the consensus? Like,
exactly.
So like, how can we reach that consensus? You know, some people say like having a consensus is ascientific. Well, yeah, but I mean, like,
if it's constructed.
Inference, you know, based like the history of science, like you have, you know, like guys like Galileo, like that were, you know, pushing up against that consensus. Of,
that's exactly
you
know, it.
Heliocentrism.
Yeah.
Or is that what's the? It's not heliocentrism, but the
Earth
is the center, whatever that is. But he kind of provided an alternative through Copernicus first, and then
Galileo. Yeah.
But you know, like he restructured his argument through that empirical data, providing evidence. And
it's hard because, you know, consensus can be constructed. People can force it on you, or you can independently create consensus, like the blockchain technology.
Yeah. I get that.
Exactly.
Sorry, I didn't finish that, but yeah.
Large chunk of confirmed blocks. Everybody comes up with the same answer. And, you know, you might have like 99.98% confirmation, but then you can confirmably say, okay, we have enough accuracy. Yeah. Let's work with that.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, there's so much to talk about, and you know, I thank you for so much for being.
Oh man, let's do this. Please do this again, and like maybe we can even like get. I can bring in my rock band mic. And we can. I can maybe third. Like do some beatboxing or something. And
yeah,
Nathan can just like, you know, just do some freestyle jokes or whatever. You know,
right? So. We'll create a intro to the podcast since it doesn't have one just yet.
Oh, by the way, I'll just leave it at this.
Please.
The data, as far as like space time not being fundamental, and kind of the solution that that Nash equilibrium to the prisoner's dilemma to, you know, three body problem.
Okay.
By the way, check it out. I've never read it, but it sounds like a good book, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was on the shelf at the isolation tank.
Yeah, so he is saying, Donald Hoffman, this cognitive scientist, evolutionary game theorist, is saying that consciousness itself could be fundamental, and that could provide like all these modalities of like perception of fitness functions expressing organs or like animals. And we have like the species specific kind of perception of like what we see and you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
And you know, we're still kind of teasing out a lot of those cognitive experiments with like game theory, but he runs basically simulations saying that, you know, truth itself is like the dove and fitness itself is like the hawk. So like if you know anything about game theory, like hawks pretty much always beat doves, and so and fitness always beats truth.
Oh
yeah,
yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah,
you know,
but there's essentially a way that, you know, you can, I guess, deconstruct that kind of false like dichotomy, you know, like there's obviously doves that work with doves, and it's like progress, and but it reaches this point that like there's always going to be a niche for truth. There's always going to be a niche for fitness. You know, they work in tandem, but I think that, you know, if you know anything about like living on Earth or human condition, it's mixed, it's varied, it's beautiful, it's sad, it's, you know, all those things. So
yeah, it's this juggle of all of those things.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that that's an important point. It's almost like perception and consciousness is a natural result of the universe itself, because the universe itself at some capacity has consciousness, and everything like us are, we are just this large collection of consciousness, you know, and that's why we experience it.
Okay. See, I'm maybe. I was kind of thinking something like maybe the universe itself is a result of consciousness.
Okay. Really?
So, you know, but you know, that's the thing with like cause and effect. Like it's effect. Like if you know any, like some of the, like I'm like, we're going way over, but like, let's keep talking. Like I don't really need to watch the Super Bowl. So like, the, you know, causality is obviously a thing. And like, that's why physicalism like really can, hold strong with a lot of physics itself and like even chemistry and all that. But, quantum game theory, like some of these really like heady stuff, like it is like future determines past, past determines future. Like, so it's almost like, you, like, I don't know, like that, what you said is probably right for like your,
it almost seems like you're breaking space time down. Right.
Yeah.
Because like, there's a lot of things that are namely spiritual that almost exist outside of space time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's Donald Hoff. He has a great paper. I don't know if you'll, I couldn't really understand it, but he's trying to synthesize like, you know, Penrose dynamics, like Roger Penrose, who's super skeptical of whether we can prove string theory or not.
Okay.
And string theory itself, which is kind of the consensus, if you will.
Right.
Well, you know, we need both those guys, but Hoffman, and I'm Hoffman's great, but I'm also super skeptical. Like I'm just saying, it's just really cool because it's potential, like it's potential solution to like quantum gravity. And he's like way more than that. But, okay. Where was I lost my train of thought. So that, man, where
space
was
space time?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Space time existing outside of.
Yeah. So, okay. He's basically going to solve that with, have you ever heard of like time crystals?
No.
Yeah.
What? So, like Rick and Morty?
Yeah. Pretty much. Rick and Morty. So basically it's, you know, crystals, usually a normal like rock crystal is like repeating its structure in space.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, like X-ray crystallography, for example.
Yeah. So actually like time crystals, and I don't know the exact physics of it, but it is repeating structure in time.
Oh.
It's wild. And it is like, it was a theory of like physical science, like maybe back in like the 60s, and they actually like, maybe in the 90s or even like early 2000s, they synthesize these crystals, and it's like, it's almost like it's like kind of like shape shifting, like nanobot kind of things.
Yeah. That's a crazy technology, and that's something that we can't exactly perceive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you have to like, you have these weird detectors and run like calculations that are like those string theories and cause you can run like both like the twister dynamics of the time crystal. And then, I don't know. I don't really understand the dimension, like different dimensions. Because that's Penrose's skepticism, like different dimensions. And like,
how do you?
So that's way above my head.
Right.
Maybe I'll study more. I'll just leave it at that.
Dude, absolutely. Let's leave it at that. Well, you know, Hunter, do you want to list any links where people can find you at all?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I am kind of a shit poster. Hunter Kinder. I'm just a tall white dude, goofy, you know, I'm on Facebook at Hunter Kinder, Twitter at Hunter Kinder. My profile picture on Twitter, if you listen to this recently, it's Wittgenstein from Brave Little Toaster.
Nice.
Who is a great philosopher, great like language game theory kind of stuff.
Really? Okay.
It's incredible. But let's see, Instagram, Aurascoper, Discord, Aurascoper, whatever, like hashtag 4911.
Okay.
That's me. That's my stuff.
Nice. Well, Hunter, thanks so much for being on episode number two of Lab Dominoes. For sure.
I'm sorry that it wasn't nearly as entertaining, maybe a little more heady.
Dude, it was perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. Thank you so much. Sure. Yeah. And thank you, listener, for listening to Lab Dominoes. And we'll see you next week or whenever we do it.
Peace and love. Namaste.